Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, so we're live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. CBS's Super Bowl season continues with a great doubleheader. First, the undefeated Dolphins head to New England for an AFC East showdown, where the Patriots will be hungry for a win after two straight losses. Imagine that. Then Drew Brees coming off an exciting overtime winning touchdown and setting the NFL's career completion record drives New Orleans into New York to battle Eli and the Giants. The day kicks off with the NFL Today presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. Doing more is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about Calvin Ridley yesterday? 3 touchdowns for the Falcons. He was amazing. Too bad they lost the game, but we'll still give him the Home Depot player doing more for his team. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do projects smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. All right. Jonathan Jones is with SI and Monday Morning Quarterback, great national NFL writer. How you doing, Jonathan? Thanks for coming on the bench.
Hey, for sure. I appreciate you having me on again.
So, what did you think? I got to tell you, two things stunned me yesterday. One was the Bills, and I actually had the Bills and the points. I can't lay that kind of wood in a football game in the NFL. And then I got burned on the Lions. I was really surprised, to be honest with you, when I watched the Patriots, because they looked so terrible that I didn't even recognize them. At least in the Jacksonville game, they looked bad. But this game, they looked terrible.
Yeah, the Pats just looked flat, right? Like, they looked like they had no energy. It looked like they didn't want to play. You know, this offense, clearly Brady just doesn't have enough weapons. If they're going to double Gronk, he has to be able to throw it to someone else. And that's why I was surprised that Josh Gordon was inactive. Because if nothing else, you know, have him out there on the field for 10 to 12 snaps, you know, at least make the defense account for him. You know, you throw his way one time. If it's an incompletion, so what? At least you've shown the threat of Josh Gordon on the field. And so when the Detroit Lions came out there on the field and they saw, all right, we got Gronk, so we're going to dunk. Is Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan? Yeah, that's not going to be a problem for us. Cordarrelle Patterson, no issue there. So I wasn't surprised necessarily by the end result, the Lions winning, but how they won and how they beat the Patriots was definitely surprising.
What did you think of Josh Allen's performance in Minneapolis for the Bills?
Yeah, you know, he's such a boom or bust guy. That's what we were all saying back in the spring, right? And we've seen the bust. We saw it in the preseason against the Bengals. We saw some boom in the preseason, and we saw, of course, the bust last week. And so, you know, I don't know if he's going to continue to be hot and cold throughout his career. I am concerned and have always been concerned with a guy who did not play up to competition when he was playing at a small school, who turned the ball over against both good and bad competition at his small school. And I don't know if that will ever necessarily get fixed. It's almost like a wide receiver who has a lot of drops in college. Well, he's going to continue to drop the ball in the NFL. If you turn the ball over a lot in college, it's like Josh Allen did, especially against bad competition, I think he's going to keep doing it in the NFL. So to be determined on Josh Allen. But, hey, there was his boom game so far.
Jonathan Jones with Monday Morning Quarterback. Do you think the – tell me what you think Le'Veon Bell is worth in a trade.
Whew. I mean, there'd have to be so much on background before you do that, right? Because you could rent him, I guess, but still, Le'Veon Bell is all about Le'Veon Bell and his future potential earnings. And so if you want him on the field right away, you have to somehow, and I don't even know if they can, engineer some kind of sign and trade, you know, under the franchise tag. I'm not entirely sure you can do that right now. So a team would have to take him on understanding that they may not get him until week 10 or 11 of the NFL season. And then there's also the possibility that he said that he's going to sit out the rest of the season, the entire season. I don't know if that's true or not, but that is a possibility. So I think there's too much risk involved if you're going to trade for Le'Veon.
You wonder if they can do what Mac did, though. Like, if you come here, we'll give you a deal. You can sign that deal and walk away from Oakland and do that. And then real quickly, that's what he did. Like, I don't think the guy necessarily didn't want to play for the Raiders. I just think that they didn't want to give him what he wanted, so the Bears did, and then he did it. I think that if Bell got what he wanted and they actually said, this is what we'll give you if you come here in a deal, and they could pull it off, I actually think that it might work. All this other talk about fifth rounders and third rounders is making no sense to me. Jimmy G's injury, how much do you think that just destroyed their season? Or do you think that they can fix the problem?
No, I think it destroyed their season. I mean, this was a team that was a quarterback away. When you hire a head coach like Kyle Shanahan, you know that you have to have a quarterback that Shanahan knows and trusts and believes in. They clearly did not have that last year until they traded for Jimmy G. They went into this season. It's almost Jimmy G or bust. Not in the same sense for Green Bay that Aaron Rodgers or bust, but that, you know, Shanahan has to have his guy. And so, yeah, could they go out there and trade for a non-concussed Tyrod Taylor and maybe pick up, you know, five more wins this season? Sure, they could do that. But as far as getting to the playoffs, I don't see how they do it with any guy, a Sam Bradford, you know, a Tyrod Taylor. If the Saints want to somehow part with Teddy Bridgewater, if they just traded for him, it's not going to happen.
So do you think Clay Matthews is right that the NFL is going soft? Are you doing any pieces on how this new rule is almost laughable now in the NFL, like watching these games?
You know, a couple of my colleagues have certainly touched on this. It's the talk of the NFL, right? We've already had a couple already tonight in the game. I think the one on Gerald McCoy was a little bit late on Ben Roethlisberger, so I understood that one. The other one was really bad. And so, yeah, the rule was just written so poorly. You know, I go back to May at the owners' meeting when they introduced this new helmet rule. We were like, oh, there's no way this is going to work out. And then in the preseason, they're calling every single incidental contact. And so they finally brought it back. The NFL swore up and down. They weren't changing the rule. But they did change the rule because the helmet rule has not really been a thing for the first 3 weeks of the season. What has been a thing has been this body weight rule on quarterbacks. And it's absolutely ridiculous. We saw in Miami, William Hayes just tore his ACL because he was trying not to put his body weight on the quarterback. Clay Matthews, he's had three roughing calls through three games. The last two have been terrible. And so they have to fix this rule. It's not that the refs are you know, not interpreting the rule correctly. They are. It's just the fact that the rule is written so that if you tackle someone in tackle football, it's a flag.
Do you think that the Seahawks are going to trade Earl Thomas to the Cowboys? Is the worst kept secret going in the NFL is that they've been talking about this now for, I don't know, 3 weeks. I want to jump off a building. I've waited so long for this to happen.
They have to, because they know, you know, first of all, he's a malcontent at practice, and he has every right to be. You know, you're not going to get any compensation for him after the season if you wait. And so, you know, I understand that you want to try to keep everyone happy, and you don't want, especially the organization doesn't want to show one player is not going to dictate what we do. But it's gotten to the point where if he's taking out plays during practice, if he's going to publicly call you out after a game that he just, you know, helped you win, and then if you're looking at 2019 and saying, well, he's not going to be with us in 2019 and we're not going to get anything for him, you have to start making a move before the trade deadline.
Are there Jonathan Jones, a Monday morning quarterback, great stuff tonight. Are you in the belief that the Rams are going to have a problem here with Peters and Tlaib now, at the very least for Thursday, a problem?
Yeah, certainly on Thursday a problem, but the way that Jared Goff is playing right now in this offense, I think that they can still outshoot anyone in the NFL right now. Maybe not Patrick Mahomes, but they can outshoot just about everybody in the NFL right now. So they'll be okay without Peters or Tlaib for a little bit because the offense will get them through.
Ryan Tannehill, 10 of his last 11 starts, and I know he was injured, but he actually was winning when he got injured, and now he's winning again and completing 70% of his passes in this stretch. I'm not into buying into all of what he was doing before he got injured, but he was playing well. But realistically, what he's done this year is what I'm interested in. Do you think he's got a shot at Gillette against this team that's dropped two in a row?
It's going to be tough. Like, Tannehill's always been really tough to figure out. I remember I was rooting for him in 2014 saying, you know what, this guy is not nearly as bad as a lot of people think, and no one was really paying attention to the Dolphins. Then he gets banged up again, then he plays poorly. Then he, you know, now he's back to playing really well. And so he's a tough guy to figure out. All that said, though, we really can't imagine the New England Patriots dropping three straight. Is this the year that the Patriots are just actually bad? I mean, it does have to happen at some point. We can't imagine it happens with both Tom Brady and Bill Belichick at the helm. But you have to think that they're going to right this ship and get an AFC East win against a team that they know they can beat.
Do you believe that that Aaron Rodgers will be able to hold up? And now that they've lost Mo Wilkerson, are their problems just beginning in Green Bay?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You'd love to talk to the doctors around Green Bay to figure out, like, does this injury get better if Rodgers keeps playing? But, of course, what we have seen over the last couple of years is you can't sit Rodgers for 4, 5, 6 weeks and expect to win football games. Like I mentioned earlier, this team is built only based on the premise that Aaron Rodgers is at least at 60% as your quarterback. And so they can't sit him. He has to play through this. If he can hold up 16 games and that rolls into 19 games, it's going to be pretty impressive.
Do you think the Raiders are getting better, even though they have been losing? Are you seeing anything at all that makes you think they're getting close?
No, I'm not. I've never really been big on Derek Carr. He's about dead last in every advanced passing statistics that there is and always has been in his career. And John Gruden really hasn't done anything to inspire confidence. Meanwhile, Khalil Mack has better defensive stats, at least sacks-wise, than the entire Oakland Raiders defense combined.
Were you surprised that the Cardinals put Josh Rosen in with a couple minutes left in that game, like 3-4 minutes left in the game, instead of, like, you know, at a like more opportune time or something? Like, that pressure of that last possession to me was a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I guess Steve Wilks, and that's a guy that I know fairly well, I assume that he believes in Josh Rosen's confidence. And clearly, he's a very confident young man, as we saw during the pre-draft process. All that said, though, you have to believe that the guy that you put out there is going to win you the game. And it was obvious by watching that game that Sam Bradford could not win you that game. So you go with Josh Rosen, and if he goes in there and he runs the four-minute offense and they get that win over the Chicago Bears, you know, just like what we saw with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland on a smaller level, of course, forgetting the history there, that's going to launch Josh Rosen's career. And so I understand it to a point. It's obviously unsettling that it didn't work out for him, but I don't think it's going to harm Josh Rosen's confidence much moving forward.
So you were at the Carolina game. How did you think those teams looked? Bengals had looked great going into that game. I didn't think they looked great yesterday, but Cam at home and – obviously, McCaffrey, Funchess, I thought, had a big game.
Yeah, I got to see what this Bengals team is going to look like with a healthy Joe Mixon. I felt that was – and, you know, of course, A.J. Green went out early in the second half.
Right.
But as far as the Panthers go, yeah, I'll tell you what, everyone in the Panthers organization is absolutely loving Cam Newton right now. I've heard some whispers. It's just 3 games in, but he is back to 2015 MVP form, Cam Newton. And then when you saw the Christian McCaffrey – he's a guy that on tape you saw he could run between the tackles. No one really wanted to believe it. And then he showed it yesterday, almost racking up 200 yards on the ground.
You're awesome. I hope everything's going great at the MMQB after obviously Pete went on his own doing his other thing. I'm rooting for you guys. Great job, as always, on the show. I always love having you on. Great stuff. Killer. And I hope keep up the good job over there. I hope you guys keep rocking it, SI. And I know that it's for sale, all this other craziness. I just hope you guys keep doing your thing, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and I hope whoever buys this happens to like me. But we'll keep doing this every now and then. How about that?
Are you guys believing that Tony Robbins and Dan Gilbert will own that magazine?
I don't know what to believe, but whoever buys it, I look forward to being their biggest fan.
Listen, that was like the smartest answer I think I've heard since the last smart answer I heard by someone at corporate level. But that was pretty strong. That was like a Belichick answer. Like you gave me nothing, but you still kind of answered it, which was pretty awesome.
That's right.
Hey, good stuff tonight, Jonathan. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Hey, appreciate you.
All right, Jonathan Jones, SI, Monday Morning Quarterback. He's the new star over there. No Peter King. It's now Bones Jones getting things done And I thought I only fought in the octagon.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, what's the flag on is what I want to know. What's that call there? Tampa's got the ball at their own 20. They got to go 80 yards in 3 minutes. They're down three. Or they could tie it with a field goal, but they want to win it, right? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-2124. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, runners, motorcycle, or boat insurance? They got that, too. Go to geico.com to check it out. What was the call? Nothing? There was no call? So they waved it off, I guess. Oh, he almost threw the game away, Fitzpatrick.
Oh, my God.
What was that? Did you see how bad that pass was?
Who's 24 there? You got to catch that.
24, you got to pick that off, son, and win the game. You can't drop that pass right in your hands, right in your face. That was the worst pass I've seen all night.
It seemed like that flag was going to be like they thought it might have been a late hit on Fitzpatrick, except they realized that it was like he got out of the guy's way and fell on him. It wasn't the guy actually knocking him down.
All right, so they let it go. So this is it right here. They got two downs, third and 10. They gotta go for it no matter what. There's no way they're punting the ball with two timeouts left. They got to do it right now. And he threw another bad pass. Like, what is he doing? Like, these are the worst passes you ever seen. This is who he really is, right? Fitzmagic is going down the drain tonight. Those are terrible passes.
You know, they've got two timeouts and the two-minute warning. You could punt it one more time, but you can't give up a first down. You got two timeouts and a two-minute warning.
But if they get – he's going to kick here.
He's going to kick it.
Because they're so deep in their own end that if they kick a field goal, you got to score a touchdown.
Right.
So they're going to punt it. I think this is the death of them, to be honest with you. They got to stop Pittsburgh without a doubt. They'll have three cracks. The two-minute warning is their other timeout, right? So there you go. What a punt this guy just nailed. Back to the 15 for Pittsburgh. But the guy got a decent run back to the 32. So he went from the 15 to the 32. That's actually a good run back. So how about this story you're telling me about here? The Vikings say they're concerned about the well-being of Everson Griffin, one of their star players. According to 5 Eyewitness News there, he was involved in an incident at the Hotel Ivy on Saturday. According to police, a person at the Hotel Ivy was verbally threatening to shoot someone in the middle of the day on Saturday. The police department redacted that person's name from the report, but a source confirmed that it was Griffin. How about the police redacted? Why? Are they in on it with the Vikings? Don't want that publicity for the Vikings? Or are they trying to cover up a crime of one of the Vikings? Doesn't that sound fishy to you? Why would they redact his name if he did it? That's a cover-up.
Because from the rest of the story, it sounds like there's been issues with Griffin in previous weeks that they're kind of worried about his mental health. So maybe as, you know, thinking that it's a mental health problem, they kind of redacted to make it more of
but
a
it's still doing the wrong
treatment
thing.
Than a police thing.
But there's still, oh, I see. Just get him hospital help and don't let the
right,
world
don't make
know.
It a criminal thing. Make it a, you know, all treatment right. thing.
According to the report, one staff member moved to the back of the office while Griffin paced around in the lobby. They said he laid down on the floor as well, throwing a little hissy fit. He was never arrested. They said the man left on his own accord, and the caller was no longer cooperative. Apparently, somebody called or something, saying the suspect said to the staff, if someone wouldn't let him into his room, he was going to shoot someone. Police never found a gun. So Everson Griffin has been dealing for weeks with a serious personal health-related issue, per sources. The team and his agents are helping him. The GM said, we're aware of the situation involving Everson Griffin and are concerned. We're focused on his well-being and providing the appropriate support for him and his family. There you go. He's being evaluated now, allegedly, at a local hospital. Concerns about his mental health predate last weekend. Two-team sources strongly deny a report Griffin was arrested in another alleged incident. There you go. So here's Big Ben, 2nd and 10. In trouble. Gets out of trouble. Slings a first down. That's why he's so great. Did you see that play he just made? Are you kidding me? He was in death row. He was getting yanked, pulled down, everything. He got away and got the ball off and threw a 20-yard strike to Juju. That's why he's so great right here. This is why people say he's a Hall of Fame-type quarterback. Gets out of trouble in a pocket like no other because he's so big, and you can't pull him down because he weighs, you know, whatever. It looks like he weighs 240, 250. Wouldn't you say he's that big, at least 240? And you can't bring him down, and then he gets away, and then he throws a 20-yard strike, and that's game over right there, isn't it? You can't let them get that first down.
Just about.
They don't have any timeouts left. The game's over.
They just used their last one. They get the stop for the 2 minutes, so it'll be second down at the 2 minute.
And then third down.
If they stopped them, they'd get the ball back with, like, you know, it's like an Oregon-Stanford situation. Right. They get the ball back with about 15, 20 seconds left, right around there. That's if they stop them.
I thought his performance, to be honest with you, when they got the ball at the 20, Fitzpatrick's, those three downs were atrocious.
Two of the throws should have been picked off.
Two of them should have been picked off. I mean, just atrocious. So now they just pound the ball, the Steelers, and let the – oh, now Connor breaks free for another first down. That's game over. Now it's over. He just ran 20 yards with it. Steelers win. Game over. Thanks for coming.
Here's a question I have about the whole Griffin situation. I mean, obviously, we're just getting preliminary reports. We don't know the whole thing. But
right.
If they're saying that this is something that has been building for a couple weeks, that this has been issues,
right.
Why the hell was he playing the first 2 weeks of the season then? Because obviously, you know, this is something possibly mental, possibly, you know, football-related. The guy's 30 years old. He's been in the league for a couple of years.
Maybe CTE.
If you were worried about this guy for a couple of weeks, what was he doing the first two games of the season playing?
So it's okay. So basically, it's like saying he's got mental health issues, but we're going to let him play anyway.
Right, something's wrong with the guy, but we're going to go and bash his head a couple dozen times anyway.
We're going to let him go play because winning is all that matters. This is pro football. We don't care, really. The bottom line is we need you to play, but if you're sick in the head, we'll deal with it later.
Right, he had half a sack in both games, so let's throw him in there. Who cares what happens?
Deal with it
when it comes to a head.
It really is troubling when you think about it, honestly. There's so much to talk about with any of this stuff. Like, you can call and talk about the Lions win, the Gronk rumors. Remember, he was going to get traded to the Lions, they said, but he said, if I'm not playing with Brady, I'm retiring. That's crazy. You can talk about Josh Allen and the Bills. That's unbelievable. The most points they've allowed all of last year was yesterday. So last year you can do every game and it still wasn't 27 points. So it was 19, 17, 14, 10, 16, 7, 7, and 10. Their defense is so good. But yesterday it was like being sick and you have a stomach ache and you go to the bathroom 10 times like I did Saturday night. I went out for dinner, came home. I got poisoned by my wife. She tried to kill me at a burger place. When I went to the bathroom, I came back. She had Visine'd my burger with poison. Wait, are we on the air? Check 1, 2, test. Jimmy G, talk about Clay Matthews and the sack. Talk about that. The NFL's terrible ref, all their rules. Talk about the Rams injuries. Talib and Peters are going to be out for that game Thursday against the Vikings. Talk about Tannehill. Does he have a shot against the Pats at Gillette? Will they lose three in a row? Is the Raiders' offense starting to click, even though they lost again? Were they better? Because they were up. Weren't they up 14-0 in that game, and they still blew it?
Yeah, and your boy Jordy went off finally.
Jordy went off, except all of the people that caught Jordy from behind, not a telling sign that his career is about to end, when he can't outrun anyone when he caught a pass. Do you see guys catching him from behind? It was embarrassing. He looked like a white guy. Oh, wait, he is.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I wanted to, at the very least, ask you, Mafia. Well, first of all, the Vance, what'd you say his name was? Vance McDonald. The guy had the greatest stiff arm tonight I think I've seen in the NFL in like the longest time. Has anyone seen a stiff arm better than that? That guy just literally took that Connie. Didn't he used to play for the Bears, the Connie? He absolutely humiliated that guy on national television. He shoved him like 10 yards in the air with his fist in his face. He just took him and shoved him. Did you see that, Mafia, that play?
I did see that. Yeah, that was pretty filthy the way he just tossed him to the ground.
He just absolutely ragdolled him.
Made him look like just pushing a kid aside.
The Steelers needed that win worse than I think any team in the league right now. Is that about right for like an overrated team? Like everybody thinks the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl or winning the AFC. A lot of people do, right? Do you think that there's potential after, you know, because every game they lost, right, they scored a lot in, right? And Roethlisberger had big numbers, even though he had bad games. Like, he still put up huge numbers against, Kansas City, and then who'd they lose in their opener?
Cleveland.
Cleveland. But they were up 21-7 in that monsoon, right? So if they would have played dry that day, he may have put up 35 on them, right? But it was like pouring rain. It was like they were playing in a puddle, like a deep ankle-deep puddle. So do you think that Carver Hyde's actually playing at the end of the day, his work has been normal and that he's back to doing what he does and that they could actually rattle off, I mean, let's say 8 of their next 10 and then end up like with 9-7 at worst.
Yeah, I don't think that he's the reason why before tonight they had lost a game and tied a game. I don't think that that's necessarily on him.
Right.
I think that the defense let him down, let the team down, I should say.
Right.
Absolutely in the Kansas City game with what Mahomes did
not
that
tonight.
Day. Not tonight. Defense came through. Had a little some tough spots in the second
right.
half. Let
right.
the Bucs get back in the game. But Ben was great tonight. That play he made at the end of the game to get that final first down where he kind of broke out of the tackle
right,
there
and moved
over and slung
Juju.
It to Juju. That's a play you've seen him make his entire career.
He's 14-4 on Monday Night Football in his career.
Yeah, that's don't bet against him. And now we get the real – here we go, Sunday night, Steelers-Ravens.
Now it's on.
This is – you talk about a big game. That's as early season as big as it gets.
Who do you like in that one?
I lean Steelers just as the game is in Heinz Field. I'm not big on the Ravens. I'm really not.
Aren't they 2-1?
Yes, played well. Beat the Broncos yesterday. Beat up my team. Lost that Thursday night game to the Bengals. But I'm not ready to say they're going to go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers on Sunday night.
All right, Mafia.
I agree with Mike there. I think that they're a team in the Ravens that are, you know, can put up some points if you're kind of fugazi, if you're a fake team. Like, everyone had the Broncos, you know, when they were coming into the season. We didn't think much of them at all. Then they won a couple of games. Like, oh, could they be, you know, in the mix for the West? No. They're not going to be a good team. Case Keenum is not a great quarterback. He's a serviceable one. He can get you some wins here or there. He's not a guy that's going to lead you to the playoffs. We saw yesterday what they really are more like, I believe. The Ravens, I feel like, the same way. When they play a crappier team, they can beat you up. When they play a good team, it's going to be a struggle for them. So against the Steelers, they might get some points because that defense has given up, you know, too much to some people. They did a great job getting turnovers in the first half this game, kind of fell asleep at some points in the second half. I still think they're going to score a little bit, but the Steelers' offense continues to roll. Even without Le'Veon, they can still put up points with all the weapons that they have, and they're going to win that game.
So the Giants ended up finally winning. What did you think of their win at Houston? And now – what is Houston 0-3?
They sure are.
So my question is this. The Barkley was great. OBJ was great. Eli got it done. I took the Giants in the 6.5 on the spread. I'm surprised, I'll be honest, that Houston lost at home after going 0-2. Now they're 0-3. What do you have to say about the Texans now and their illustrious coach?
It's the same story over and over with them, right? Another big game from Watson. What'd he throw for? 350, 300, 340 yards, something like that yesterday?
Right.
Did it matter? No. Why? Because the team's not that good. That team is not that good. They are so overhyped, that team. 0-3 now. You lost to the Giants. Giants at home yesterday. That should be enough. I'm done with the Texans now. I don't want to hear about them for a while. I thought Eli played really well yesterday. Eli made some good throws.
So you don't think he's finished?
I've never been a big believer in Eli's completely finished. I think that if you give him a chance to get the rock to the guys that he needs to get it to, he could do that, and they did that yesterday.
So OBJ, Shepard, and Barkley.
Right.
Mafia, what did you think of him?
I thought it was a good showing for the Giants. They finally started getting the offense rolling a bit. They started hitting the guys they needed to hit.
Do you think they can beat the Saints this week at home?
I do not. I think they'll get smoked by the Saints. The Saints' offense is so ridiculous right now.
I don't know about that.
I'm not ready to go there.
Smoked,
here's
he said.
Why. A couple things. One, that was a great emotional road division win for the Saints yesterday down in Atlanta. Now they got to go on the road again, a second week in a row, outdoors. I'm not saying the Giants are going to win the game, but I think that could be a tricky game for the Saints this Sunday at the Meadowlands.
Ricardo Allen tore his Achilles for the Falcons. The safety's out for the season. He signed a 3-year, $20 million extension before the season. Now they've lost, like, everyone on their
almost
their
entire starting
Neil,
defense.
Who haven't they lost?
It's crazy. Well, it's the Falcons' injuries this year just
right?
mounting up. Deion Jones, just so many guys.
Deion Jones,
lost.
Neil, Now this guy, Ricardo Allen, they're all, their secondary's all backups now. All of it. It's patchwork. Sean Lee is hurt again. Injured his other hamstring. The other one was injured. Now he's injured both of them. Here's the deal, Dallas. Let's get real now. Sean Lee is peanut brittle, and he has been for the last 5 years. The guy can't stay healthy at all. Zero. I give him no chance of, like, it's just constant. Have you ever seen anything like it? Sean Lee is injured. I mean, I spend more time talking about this guy's injuries than I do his football career. He doesn't play football. He's just always injured. Have you ever noticed that? Sean Lee, the great Sean Lee on the Dallas defense, he's the leader, the Cavs, and all this other. He never plays. He's always injured. Have you ever seen anything like it?
Always hurt. Always hurt.
How about the story isn't about he's hurt, it's just his other hammy. That means they've already done the one hamstring story. Now they're doing the other one. And then what's next? His left hand, his right hand? I mean, it's one thing after the next with this guy.
He's defensive Sam Bradford.
I mean, he really is. The Raiders in their first three games, 0 wins, 3 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 0 fumbles recovered, 1 pick, no touchdowns. Khalil Mack in his first three games, 2 wins, 4 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovered, 1 interception, and 1 touchdown. My favorite game yesterday of betting was when I had the Bears on their winning drive, and I was watching a game, and I was like, I need the Bears to kick a field goal, not to score a touchdown, right? Because if they scored the touchdown, they would have covered the 4.5, right? They would have won by like 6, right? So instead, I needed a field goal on that drive, and then I would have covered both ends of the bet. The Bears win by 3, and then I had Arizona in 4.5, and that's exactly what happened. How beautiful was that, Mafia, that bet? The Bears to win and Arizona plus 4.5. So they get the ball back, and they could have driven down and scored a touchdown and won the game by 6. Instead, Arizona held them to a field goal, and that's exactly what I needed. When the kid came out, he'd already missed one. The kid with the short pants, you seen him with the white leggings and the short pants? He came out, whatever his name was, Beasley or something, or whatever his name is, and he came out and kicked it, Godley or something. He's their rookie or something kicker. Guy came out and nailed the kick, and they won outright 16-14. And I was like, oh, that is the best bet ever. I had him to win. If they score a touchdown, they cover the 4.5. But a field goal, you middle the 4.5 with the Bears win. It was the best bet of the day.
They also had a pick six of Rosen in the last minute that they called back for a defensive hold or something
right,
like that, because he threw it right at a guy and he brought it to the house.
Right.
And the Bears were all going crazy. And
the fans were going crazy.
They brought it back. So.
Yeah, I remember that. So what did you think when you saw Gronkowski, when they said he was because I watched that game last night, right? And they threw it to him a few times. But I got to tell you, for the first time ever, I'm going to just say it. He looked like beat up to me and old. For the first time ever, he looked like he just was like wanted no part of this. All the hitting and getting nailed after he catches the ball and he's going down hard. He got up. He was like, oh, God, why am I still doing this?
I think that he was bottled up all night. I think that Patricia and the Lions had a really nice strategy. You know what? These guys don't have a lot of targets tonight. Let's put 2 or 3 guys on Gronk every single play and whack him around a little bit. And let's see what Brady does then, because he doesn't have big Gronk to throw to the whole night. And it worked.
Belichick said they were outplayed and outcoached. That was a nice thing he said about
it. He says that every time they lose.
So the Josh Allen upset, they were plus 800 on the money line. I thought it would have been way bigger.
No, that's – yeah, I mean, that's about
it. I thought
it
would have been way bigger, plus 1,000 at least. I mean, I couldn't believe it at the beginning of that game, because it was like a minute into the game and they scored, and I was like texting you going, oh, my God. I think the only thing I texted was
and
Allen.
And then remember, they got the fumble, because when the Vikings got the ball for the first time and Cousins fumbled, and they settled for 3, right?
Right, it was
like,
10.
You can't settle for 3
touchdown.
Here. You got to get touchdowns here. Didn't matter.
It didn't matter. But that was the most the Vikings have given up at home in a year. That last year they didn't give up that much once, 27. The Steelers, as we told you, listening to Le'Veon Bell offers, the Jets called about him, kicking the tires. They want to give up no more, it would appear to me, than a third rounder.
Nobody should. You can sign this guy in the offseason for nothing. I mean, you just got to pay him. Why would you do it?
That's the point I made earlier, that Mac did the same thing. Mac wanted the money, and they said, all right, We'll trade for you, but you got to cut this deal.
But Max still had years left on his contract. Le'Veon has this 1 year, so anybody who wants to get him that might be able to win this year, maybe you give up something for him. If you're the Jets, you're not winning this year. Why would you waste players or picks when you might be able to sign him in the offseason?
But didn't the guy get a Mac, get an extension worth $200 million?
Right, but he still had years left on his rookie deal, or not his rookie deal, but I think he said a year or two left on his deal as it was.
He also
tweeted, was holding out because he wanted an extension anyway.
Right.
There was time left on his deal. They didn't have to pay him this year at all, the Raiders?
No, he was still under contract. That's why the Raiders didn't pay him.
He had one more year left on his deal or whatever it was. But Bell...
did Bell. He's got 1 year left
Bell's
of a tag.
He's playing on a franchise
Who
tag.
Who cares?
Mac's not playing on a franchise
but
tag
But it's still
yet.
A year of... They owed him $14.5 million for the year.
But it's a different...
They still own him.
They still own him, but they won't at the end of the year.
Right.
The Raiders could have still tagged Mac for the next 2 or 3 years. They could have tagged him a whole bunch of times. But Bell,
don't you think someone should trade more than a third rounder for Bell and then cut a deal with him? Get him on the phone and his agent say, listen, we'll do this deal that they're willing to make with us right now, but you got to sign this deal.
Yeah, but I don't think it'll be the Jets because if you remember, he tweeted back in February that it would take a lot of money for me to go run with the Jets. So he made that little comment a few months ago.
Oh, so now this guy, he's the biggest malcontent in league history, and now he also doesn't want to play for certain teams?
This was back in February. This was months ago.
So some teams aren't good enough for him?
Not at all.
Oh, my God, does he make me sick to my stomach. I told you, Saturday night my wife poisoned me and tried to kill me. And I got sick to my stomach. Today, I got bit by my dog attacked me, and everyone thinks that I should go and be thrown in an incinerator. It's unbelievable the treatment I get.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.